Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to the final sermon in our series on pastoral care, help us to keep on grappling with what is it. Draw principles from your word, and we pray that we individually will be thinking more about caring for each other, and we as a church will be able to have a program where we are able to more comprehensively care for everyone in the church. We ask your blessing upon our time together today. Amen. Well, I returned about a week ago from a skiing holiday, and I go skiing with my cousin Gavin because Marge went skiing many years ago and never wants to go again. So I go, and here he is up the top of a mountain. There he is, Gavin, there. And here's another bit of him skiing. The reason it's him in the photos is because I was the one that had the camera. Anyway, when you go skiing, to get up the top of the mountain, you actually need to go on a chairlift or a T-bar. And it's much slower going up than coming down, usually. So when you go up on a T-bar, it's interesting the conversations you have. And I was reflecting on my conversations during the week in terms of this topic of pastoral care. Because usually when you're going up on a chairlift, you have pretty superficial conversations, such as where you skied today, what's it like? Gee, we could do with more snow, couldn't we? And various things. But sometimes you have a bit more serious. For example, Gavin and I were going up with this young guy in his early 20s. And we're asking about himself. He's a snowboarder and he works in the bar. And he just works so that he can snowboard. And then he goes overseas and he travels around the world. And he said, you got any qualifications, early 20s? He said, nah. And afterwards we're thinking, what's he going to do in his late 20s or his 30s when he wants to settle down? Different lifestyle. Another couple we're talking about at the other end of life, they're a retired couple. And they have leased out their house for 3 years, they said, at least 3 years. And they're travelling around Australia in a caravan. And they're spending the whole of the ski season at just in Perisher. And because they're over a certain age, it's a bit cheaper. And they're just enjoying it. We said, what do you do for money? They say, occasionally we actually get to a caravan park that we know of. And we actually work and look after the caravan park for the owners to go and have a holiday. So very different lifestyle. Now, I was staying in a ski lodge, and here's some pictures, there were 18 of us, of some of the people somebody else put up on Facebook, of some of the people in the ski lodge. So usually there, too, you have pretty superficial conversations. Now, I thought this was fair enough, because I was on holiday, you know, by the way. So I wasn't looking for any deep and meaningful conversations. But unfortunately, I had one. Now, we cook our own meals, and I was in the kitchen, there were a number of people around, and I was cooking the meal for our group of three, and there was a lady cooking the meal for her group. And all of them knew that I was a church minister. So she asked me, what do you think of marriage equality? Fortunately, I was able to sidestep that. She really wanted, though, to talk about her own marriage and subsequent divorce. We were talking and we were in one corner of the kitchen. There were other people around and a new partner was around too. But she just wanted to ask me questions. But rather than just ask me questions, first she wanted to tell me about what had happened in her life. And I was able to ask her questions that enabled her to express her feelings about why the marriage had ended, her disappointments and her frustrations. And I was listening actively. And after I listened for quite a while, she then asked me about a Christian perspective and what had happened. And I was able to share with her some things. She thanked me for the Christian viewpoint. And then she said, you know, I was talking to my, I used to go to church. And I think now I'm going to go back and talk with the minister of the church I used to go to. And I thought, God was able to use me. Now, in terms of pastoral care, I think often it's if we're on the ski chairlift and we just have superficial conversations. Even at church, Sometimes we just have the equivalent of what's your day been like, where have you skied, that sort of thing. And we don't get to deep and meaningful things. Now, I was on holiday and I still got to something deep and meaningful. But in our pastoral care series, we want to encourage us to be caring for each other, and that means having deep and meaningful conversations at times. Sometimes in a general way, when we're at church, when we're in our friendship groups, in our Bible studies, and different church activities. But sometimes we need a program, a system to facilitate these deep discussions where genuine pastoral care takes place. As Christians, we should be more caring of each other. Our pastoral care series, which we've been doing for 4 weeks, is aimed at encouraging us to be caring for each other. What we've seen? Well, we've seen that Jesus actually says caring is not an optional extra for Christians. It's actually a command. Remember in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He has complete credibility in commanding us to love each other because he himself is the supreme model of pastoral care. In the last couple of weeks, we examined the concept of a shepherd caring for his sheep and seeing the relevance of this principle into the area of pastoral care. Remember, the word for pastor is the same word as the word for shepherd. I mentioned in my when I preached a few weeks ago about Jill McGilvray, a lecturer, a former lecturer at Mary Andrews College. She's written a book called Love in Action. And somebody actually quoted this to me yesterday. So I think it's actually having an impact on people. The way she defines pastoral care. This is what she says. She says, pastoral care is being God's love with skin on to one another. Isn't it a profound definition? Being God's love with skin on to one another. Jill also suggests books to read on pastoral care in her book. One of the authors that she recommends is Henry Nguyen. Well, that's not how you say it. It's Henri. Henri Nguyen. He was a Catholic priest who wrote very many popular books on the spiritual life from both a psychological and theological perspective. He is popular with Protestants because he focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. And his books are great. He lectured at universities when he went to America, such as Yale and Harvard. And his lecturers were incredibly popular. You couldn't get a seat. In fact, you couldn't even get standing room. He would fill lecture halls. He was a much sought-after conference speaker and lecturer around the world. Yet, he gave up his popular acclaimed public ministry and spent the last 10 years of his life ministering to people with developmental disabilities in a faith community. And in his writings, he talks about the guy that he focused on who was severely disabled and he had to do everything for him and the things he learnt through caring for this person and the things that this person taught him and the things he learned about himself. Well, I have read these two books by Henri Nguyen, A Spirituality of Caregiving and The Wounded Healer. Let me share just some of the insights. We are to care for each other because it is the command of Jesus. Nguyen cites Luke 6:36, which says, Jesus is speaking, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Merciful could also be translated compassionate. We're to be merciful and compassionate to each other because that is what God is to us. And he goes on to say, to care is the most human of all human gestures. And when we care, we enter into the world of those who are broken and powerless. Sometimes it involves just being there with people, even when nothing can be done to change their situation. Nguyen looks at the suffering Jesus and looks into his eyes and is not crushed by his pain. Instead, he receives the suffering of Jesus into his heart and lets it bear the fruit of compassion. Nguyen says that all of us suffer in this complex world. He then says that some people are called to be wounded healers. These are people who look not just after their own wounds, but they help others to cope with their wounds too. As I've been reading through these books, it seems to me that he's suggesting when we are caring for each other, it is authentic human living, because we are fulfilling this creation of us in the image of God. Just as God is a carer, we too are most human when we care for each other. Can I encourage you to read some of his books? There's one of them. It's nice and short, but it's very profound. Pastoral care is a broad topic. I've been encouraged to hear that many people in our church are thinking more about what it means. So I want to encourage us to talk again and keep giving us feedback. Now, firstly, a qualification. In my sermon 3 weeks ago, I attempted to outline our pastoral care program at our church. I used the term specific Christian pastoral care. I knew what I meant, but there's been some confusion. So I'm changing it to avoid the confusion. We are getting rid of the word specific, and it's now just Christian pastoral care. So I want you to take your outline out and get a pen and actually put it through specific. It has been gone. We don't want to talk about it anymore to avoid confusion. And a few more times on the outline, I only sort of thought about this in the last day or two. It was after I'd done the outline. Just cross out specific. We want to talk about Christian pastoral care. All of us are called to be involved in Christian pastoral care. This is showing love and care to each other within a Christian framework. We'd like this to be increased overall in our church through our sermon series. So I want to encourage each and every one of us to look for and take opportunities to care for each other in friendship groups, at church events and other times. But as well as that, we want to have a team that will enable us as a church to be more comprehensive in our overall pastoral care. So we are training and equipping people to be members of a team, the pastoral care team. We will have an organised pastoral care system. As we become aware of needs, we will encourage a member of the team to care for a particular individual. Now, the system is still in a developmental stage. More information given on our training day on September the 3rd and the future. But now, let's turn to our biblical passages. What I'm going to try and do is draw out principles that are relevant to the topic of pastoral care. Not preach on the whole passage, but just draw out some principles from both of the passages. Firstly, James chapter 1. If you look at the passage, it is specifically about listening to and obeying the word of God. That is the main message. However, in verses 19 to 20, James seems to be combining the concepts of relating well to God, listening to his word, with the concept of listening to each other. The ideas, of course, are closely related. So let us think about listening. Listening is a vital component of pastoral care. You know, we've been given these things that can be closed. But you can't close your ears naturally, can you? And yet so often we just forget about that, don't we? We are to be, as James says, quick to listen and slow to speak. It means allowing the other person to explain their situation and encourage them to express their feelings. Do you notice that being slow to speak is bracketed with being slow to anger? Anger and sin are never far apart. An angry spirit is never an attentive one. Often when anger comes in, listening flies out. Now, I think we can apply this principle to the whole concept of self-centeredness. Unrighteous anger is a form of just thinking about our own needs and emotions. So when we listen, it is wise to try and focus on the other person and not think about our own needs and desires. We can show our care for people by being focused on them rather than on themselves. Now, this is easy to say, but gee, it's hard to do. I was reflecting on this and I'm thinking, more than 30 years ago, I did a course on this, and yet I still don't get it right. Because I'm sinful, and often my preoccupations stop me listening actively to someone else. And I'm sorry if I've been distracted at times when I've talked to you. I need to be reminded of how important it is. And recently in our training of the pastoral team, I've learnt more about how vital it is to be a good active listener in terms of pastoral care. I was reflecting on this and I read a little bit of this from Henri Nguyen yesterday. Let me just read a paragraph. I think it's brilliant. A troubled individual best understands his or her own story when telling it to a receptive listener. Let's reflect for a moment on our own experience. Isn't the interested listener who really wants to know our story one of the greatest gifts in life? When we have a chance to tell our story to someone who cares, we are blessed. When we have a chance, let me say it again. When we have a chance to tell our story to someone who cares, we are blessed. Sort of sums up pastoral care, doesn't it? Encourage you to read these books if you get a chance to do so. Now, Christian pastoral care starts with listening, and that is the vital component. But it doesn't end with it. We listen, we assess where the person is at, and then we bring the Word of God to that particular situation. Our passage gives some good advice on how we are to receive the Word of God in our lives. Look at verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I found this sort of colloquial translation. Just do it. Do what God's word says. Don't merely listen to it or you will fool yourselves. In our Christian pastoral care, after we have listened to and appreciated other people's pastoral concerns, we can then help them to focus on how God's word can help them cope with a particular situation. Verses 26 and 27 also talk about true religion. The principle we draw from here is that true religion is helping those in need. In the times of the New Testament, in a strongly male-dominated or patriarchal society, it was widows and orphans. But the principle is, we as a church should be looking to help those in need. Philippians chapter 4. Our second passage is one I often read to people when I visit them. Look at verse 4. first five words. Rejoice in the Lord always. What's the key verse, do you reckon? What's the key word? No, it's not rejoice. No. It's in. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul's saying we should locate ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a secure eternal future with Jesus, and this is the basis of our rejoicing. In pastoral care situations, we should be encouraging people to find their security and hope in their relationship with Jesus. It's good to remind people, Jesus is with them. He is walking with them as they cope with the complexities of everyday life. Now, the Apostle Paul lived a life full of dangers, persecutions and difficulties. We read through the book of Acts and his letters, become acquainted with things such as his imprisonments simply for proclaiming Jesus, his physical beatings, the fact that he is let down continually by people that he trusted, and other events in his life. So Paul knows a lot about anxiety. He's experienced it firsthand, and he's seen it in the lives of others. He would have been aware of the teaching of Jesus from Matthew chapter 6 about not being anxious about our personal circumstances because God knows our needs before we ask. So Paul is saying in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but put your security in prayer. Do you notice he uses four different words or phrases to describe prayer? Anxious people should pray to God, and prayer helps people to cope with anxiety. And in a pastoral care situation, of course, the natural thing to do, a Christian pastoral care situation, is to pray with and for the person. You know, in my ministry, I often try and pray with people after talking with them about a particular situation in their lives. It's good not just to say, I'm going to pray for you, but actually to pray there and then if you're able to. Good habit to get into in pastoral care situations. We're asking God to help us cope with a situation in our lives. Now, when we pray, God doesn't always give us the answer we want. We have to trust him that he is in control. But God makes this promise in verse 7. We will get his peace in place of our anxiety. And God's peace surpasses all understanding. It is a supernaturally given peace. Peace deep in our heart. God's peace also keeps our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Then in verses 8 and 9, we see that Paul's encouraging the Philippians to set their minds on God's way and live a life that honours him. Similar to James 1:22. Actually live out the word. Do what it says. This will often involve As we strive to live such a life, God's peace becomes more real to us in our lives. God desires to think and do such things that are morally good and pleasing to him. So Christian pastoral care involves firstly listening to the person and then assisting them to discover and use the resources God has made available to them, which means showing them places in the Bible that are appropriate to their particular situation, praying with them, encouraging them just to hang in there at times. When we pray, we gain a great understanding of God's peace, which helps us to cope with God with anxiety. Now, this week, I visited a lady from our church. She's in her mid-90s and she's no longer attending our church, She's in a nursing home. She's come to the situation where she's got severe physical limitations. She's been told she'll never be able to walk again. She is mentally right on the ball, but the body has given up. Pretty tough. Now, I spent some time reading God's word. Well, firstly, I just listened to her and listened to her concerns. Then we read God's word together. And then I prayed. And I could just see the anxiety calm down. It's a good thing to do. But I cannot comprehensively cover everyone associated with our church who's in need. In a reasonably large church, the total sum of pastoral needs is incredibly beyond one or even three full-time ministers to adequately cover. Indeed, I'm not always aware of needs, of all the needs. And sometimes I feel guilty that I just don't have the time to minister effectively to others. I have to make choices, and I just can't get around everyone. But then I remember, it's not just the full-time paid ministers who are the ministers. The back of the Mac update gives a list of who the ministers. You notice at the top it says, ministers, all the active members of the congregation. And then it lists the ministry staff who are paid. Our job is to equip and train everyone to be ministers. You see, the lady I visited is visited regularly by a member of our church who listens to her, who reads the Bible with her, and who prays with her. And she was able to tell me about how much she appreciates this visit. Pastoral care in practice. But my vision is to multiply and greatly expand our team. We wish to have more people involved in this team. On the back of the handout, if you have a look there, have a look down the bottom and you'll see the members of the pastoral care team. We have about 15 or so. I'd love to have 50 to 100. We want and need more to adequately cover our pastoral care needs. But at the moment, if you're aware of a particular pastoral care need, 9:30 service, talk to Annette, Anne or Barbara. They're the ones you go to first. But instead of just three, I'd love to have 20 for our service. If you wish to join the team, we'd like to encourage you to attend our training day. And we're going to have more ongoing training in the future. But let me just remind you of what I said about our team a few weeks ago. In thinking about Christian pastoral care and our team, there are lots of elements of friendship to this, but there is a difference. It is a particular focus on caring for the person. It's not just a mutual chat where you both get benefits. You do benefit when you care for somebody, but you're really focused not on yourself, but on them. We envisage there'll be regular contact between the pastoral carer and the person they're caring for. We'll be assigning males to males generally and females to females. Now, you might think, well, what were you doing talking in the kitchen with that lady for the ski lodge? Well, actually, there were a whole lot of other people there and her partner was there as well. But to save coordination, to save complexities, if you're talking with somebody individually, I wouldn't go and visit her in a house, for example. I would arrange to meet somewhere else, but it's better if it's a female to female, male to male, generally. So blokes, do you notice there aren't many on the pastoral team yet? So I want to say to each and every one of our blokes, think about joining it. The contact when we have a pastoral care team member and somebody they've been linked up with, We envisage it'll be at least once a month and more as different situations arise. Once people are trained, we will talk with them about their suitability to be part of the team. Now, some people may not be the area of giftedness. We may say this is another area you might be better at. But everyone is welcome to do the training because it would be a benefit to everyone. Some people will be designated members of our pastoral care team. A pastoral carer, once they're part of the team, will meet with an advisor regularly. We already have a panel of advisors who are listed. And of course, there will be referrals if there are complex issues. We have a confidentiality code and a code of conduct. Now, I started talking about my skiing week. I had many conversations with people during this week, which was superficial, which is right and proper as I was on holiday. But there was one that stood out, and that was incredibly valuable. In our church life, we can just have superficial conversations all the time. That's why we need to focus on this. We want to encourage general pastoral care that happens in the context of relationships and church events. But we want to have a pastoral care team, a program where we organise things so that we can comprehensively cover as many needs as possible. And in a large church, we need a system. Otherwise, people will fall through the cracks. The aim of this series is to encourage us all to be more pastorally caring of each other, but to facilitate a more comprehensive pastoral care system in our church. Members of our team will be regularly meeting with people where there will be an intentional focus on providing Christian pastoral care. We envisage that each member of the team will have no more than four people that they're meeting with over a month. So maybe one a week, maybe less. The members of the team will be trained and supervised by advisors. It's an exciting new program. I'd like to invite everyone interested to come along to our training day. We're going to finish with an ad. And I interviewed yesterday Linda, and she's going to be up on the screen, and we hope it's going to work. Go through about 4 minutes. About pastoral care, the training day. Here we go. It did work fine this morning. Chris, you're going to have to find it on the desktop. I'll turn the lights off as we get organised.
Here we have Linda Parry. And Linda is, can you tell us about the Pastoral Care Training Day on September the 3rd? Firstly, who's running this day?
Okay, well, the day will be run by Michelle Lando and myself. We're both very experienced in running training programs. And pooling together her many years of experience and mine and the skill sets we have, it's really coming together as a very exciting day.
And who is it for on the day? Who can come along?
Anybody and everybody. It's for all of you. Of course, the existing team is required to come along, and anyone who's even the slightest of interest, inkling to be part of the team, please come along. It'll really help you get a lot clearer on what this is all about. But I think anyone will find it useful, not only in their pastoral caring, but in their relationships generally.
Great. Can you tell us about the structure of the day?
Yeah. It starts off with basic listening skills. Most of us think we're good listeners, but to be honest, 90% of us aren't quite as good as we think we are. So we could all do with improving our listening skills. Then it moves into more specifically how to build on that to be empathic. Setting boundaries, very, very important in this sort of work. How to bring in specifically people's spiritual needs, very important because this is a Christian pastoral care program. How does it differ from simply being a friend? And finally, how to deal with specific situations like people in grief, people with depression, not to be psychologists or counsellors, but just how to manage those situations so that people get the care they need.
And Linda, in the secular world or the corporate world, if you were going to a day like this, how much would it cost the church to put on?
To hire two experienced trainers like Michelle and I would probably cost around $2,000.
So that would mean each individual would probably at least $100 or more, wouldn't it, to cost?
Yes, so easily. More than that. I think to go to a workshop for a whole day for $100, you wouldn't be able to do that these days.
So what deal can you do for us?
Well, the deal we have for you is that Michelle and I are offering this for free, not because we undervalue our work in any means, but because this is God's loving action. We're actually wanting to demonstrate that this all comes from a spirit of generosity. And so that's how it begins, that we begin by actually putting into practice what we're talking about, which is God's love with skin on.
Well, what a bargain. How can we sign up for this course?
Well, 8 a.m. you see Jan Livingston, 9:30 you can see myself, 11 a.m. Michelle Landau, and 5 p.m. Richard Mills. Just see them, they'll write your name down and enrol you for the day.
What time does it start and what's the date again?
It's at September the 3rd. It starts at 9 a.m. and goes till 4 p.m. Now, we have said that if you can just come from 9 till 11, please don't use that just as a reason to, just do those 2 hours. But if that's all you can make, you'd be very welcome to come for that time.
Thanks very much.